We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Happy Friday, everybody. You made it. Glad you're with us. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Penzoa Performance Line. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you. That sound you heard in the rejoin or the beginning of the show, the grand entrance to our Friday extravaganza, was from the Seahawks.com on Pete Carroll talking about what didn't happen when they almost signed Colin Kaepernick a few years ago.
You pronounced it wrong. It's thigh day today.
It's
Yeah, buddy. I'm tired of being shamed. I'm not going to lie. I got a little sick of it, and I finally reached a breaking point. Everyone, we've been back on camera on ESPN2 and ESPN News for a while. It's been skies out, thighs out for your boy over here, and people are not happy about it. I'm being sexualized in a way that I will no longer tolerate. I am going to let this sweet, sweet thigh meat hang out for the masses. You guys are going to have to deal with it.
I have a question.
Go ahead, Al.
Skies out, thighs out?
Yeah.
When is the sky not out?
The sky is more out now because it's sunny.
I mean, the sky is always out.
The sky is out, but sometimes it's blocked by clouds.
Help me out on this one. The sky is always there.
No, it's just like sun's out, guns out. Sometimes the sun isn't out.
Well, but sometimes the sun is behind the clouds, right. But the sky is always in the air. It's always there.
I get it.
Yeah, but sometimes it's behind the clouds.
Put it on a pole.
All I know is that these are the shortest shorts you've ever worn.
Oh, yeah.
On air. Mm-hmm. And we're on ESPN2 and ESPN News.
We're supposed to attract viewers.
Out there for the world to see. We put our clips out at Golic and Wingo on Twitter. So your thighs and calves have gotten a whole lot of comment.
Uh-huh.
Some love, some not so much love.
That's love fine. It or shove it? We're doing that later.
Yeah.
Or left thigh, right thigh. Either, neither, or both.
All I know is...
You gonna book it? You gonna book those thighs?
I'm gonna book most of America's gonna need a cigarette after the show today. That's what I know.
Cause that's what America
needs. I cannot tell you how happy I am this Friday.
Yeah. America, we're giving you a cigarette.
Wow.
Congratulations.
Okay.
So we got a lot to get to today. First of all, golf is back. How about the
golf
PGA Tour? HV3, our guy.
I gotta say,
Harold Varner, let's go.
Come on our show and things go well for you. Harold Varner, the third came on our show. This week, talk about the protocols and certainly what's going on with the social injustices of the world. And what do you know? He's tied for first with Justin.
Seven under par. Yeah. So golf is back and maybe the NBA isn't.
We will see.
Maybe it's not.
Interesting.
I mean,
talk about your old time example of reading the fine print.
Yeah.
Wait, how long?
Wait, clause what? Episode J? What's going on there? We'll get into that a little bit later, but obviously you heard that off the top. We're continuing to deal with the NFL and the fallout from Roger Goodell's video and what it means going forward. And we finally have had an owner speak up and be very, very pro doing the players whatever they want to do and how they're going to protest. And it's Titans controlling owner Amy Adams Strzok, basically saying she supports players using peaceful protests and platforms to advance as a nation, saying, among other things, hearts, minds, and institutions need to change throughout our country. Those who face racism need to be heard and, more importantly, understood by those who haven't listened before. Our organization and our players have dedicated time and resources to these issues through the We Stand For campaign, and we are making a difference in our community, tackling issues like educational equality, judicial reform, policing policies, and assistance for underserved areas.
Yeah, so we heard from an owner, and that's one thing people have been saying. Where are the owners? Are we hearing from them? We keep hearing about, and where we are now is next step. So we had the video by the players and the video by Roger Goodell. Now people are waiting for the owners. Well, NFL has taken its next step. They've donated $250 million over the next 10 years. And also the NFL says they intend to leverage its media properties, including NFL Films, NFL Network, to increase awareness of social justice issues. So it's money. And, you know, as soon as you hear that, you know, you get pros and cons, people saying, well, they better do more. You know, they have the money. They can give the money. You know, we saw Amy Trask, our good friend Amy Trask.
The best.
Break it down to say that basically it comes out to $780,000 per team per year. And my thought on always is giving money is, okay, I'm never going to rip somebody for giving money, okay? But I do get, okay, then what goes along with it? You know, what are the steps with the money? You know, because as I read a lot, you can't just throw money at a problem. No, you can't. You need to do more things, but money helps.
Yeah.
Let's all, you know, understand. I think anyway, in my opinion, steps involved. You're not going to create new policies this week, you know, so it's going to be steps. And I agree that people want to see more on where some of these steps go, but putting some money behind it doesn't hurt either.
Well, yeah, I mean, the steps can be funded by the money.
Yes.
And then the question becomes, what do you use the money for? Along those lines, here's Jason Reed, the senior NFL writer for The Undefeated, talking about the NFL donating and now taking that next step and activating.
This is the next step after Roger Goodell's video. We saw that incredible video that Goodell put out that was very surprising in response to the players' video. So what this is about now is the next step in the action. Yes, it's a significant amount of money, but the key thing is it's money to move this forward from what Goodell initially said.
And I think that is all absolutely right. You're never going to turn down people's money. But it reminds me of a movie stepdad who thinks he can buy the affection of the kids that he's trying to come in here and be a father for. Like, eventually you got to show me how you feel in order for me to believe it. And I think that's the one thing that people have always questioned when it's come to the owner is, all right, you can say all this stuff and you can put all this money forth. And it helped, and no one's ever going to turn that down. We saw, you know, the 49ers ownership put forth a lot of money at the beginning of all this. But at the end of the day, part of wanting to hear from these owners is, all right, well, have you heard what I have to say?
Yeah.
As the players on those sides, are you actually listening to the problems I'm talking about? Because that's been at the crux of all of this. We said since day one, are people listening? And it seems like on some level, some people finally are in all this. But we know, again, with all of the power that the owners had, we got a taste of that with what happened with Drew Brees, where he was finally forced to listen in a real way, which seems like for the first time and maybe far too long in that regard. And so I think ownership would fall into that category of, this money's great, but part of the reason we were looking to hear from you is because I'm sure players are trying to look up and gauge, have you actually been listening?
Are we surprised that we haven't heard more? Because there are many, I mean, Shad Khan we've heard from.
Right.
We've heard some things from Arthur Blank. There's no question about that. But like so many people said, it's a safe space now, right? I'm surprised more owners aren't taking the safe space.
Well, it's also right now the easiest thing in the world to do, right? Well,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, this is the layup, you know, to put out a statement, you know, backing and being behind your players. Now that video came out, I think a lot of people thought one of the next things would be more statements from owners. So, again, this will continue to be a process, and what happens in a process, everything gets picked apart along the way, and people want to hear more and see more. And I get it. I'm not saying I don't understand that, but I certainly will take the money. Take the money. But what is next? And I think it has been surprising that we haven't heard from more owners in this situation.
Yeah, and Amin El Hassan, who's one of our colleagues on the NBA side, talked about this the other day. He did a video relating this to the Utah Jazz, put out something on their Instagram page that said, we've been quiet for too long, Black Lives Matter. And again, like the, you know, simplest version of this that you can go out there and endorse. But what he said was, statements like this, and I know we've parsed them all, are important because it lets your fans that are on the side of this, that are against racism and are against police brutality, we see you and we're here for you.
Yeah.
And he said it also lets the others know, the ones who have come here with bigoted ideas, that this is not a safe space for you anymore.
Right.
And I think part of, especially in these very visible organizations like pro sports teams are, that's a declaration that certainly matters.
You're 100% right. I think it is almost incumbent on any franchise to put that out there to say, hey, these are the expectations or the beliefs that we have, and if you're not in line with it, don't bother. And I think that's a really important – that's why I'm surprised we haven't heard from more of them.
Yeah, but, and again, what the NFL with this money said, it's committed to collaborating with players to determine new paths forward in support of programs to address criminal justice reform, police reform, economic, educational advancement of underprivileged communities. And again – to leverage NFL Films and NFL Network to increase the awareness for social justice. So far in the first two plus seasons of the agreement that, remember, the league has had an agreement with the Players Coalition so far. During that time, the league has donated $44 million to fund social justice work on the national level. The league has awarded grants to 20 organizations. Additionally, the NFL Foundation has funded 350 grassroots programs. So that's some of the things people want to see in moving forward. Where's the money going forward? And is it not just money? Use the power of the NFL, because it is the most powerful sport we have in this country with some of the most powerful owners. So I think that's when we talk about steps, using it. Don't just say, here's some money. Put, you know, the power of the NFL behind it.
Be about it, right. In other words.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll have much more on that, including some very interesting comments from Ravens head coach John Harbaugh about the practicalities of playing football in the pandemic we are still experiencing. But coming up next, a week ago, Michelle Roberts, the executive director of the NBA PA, said, hey, my guys are ready to go. And some of her guys are saying, we may not be ready to go. We'll get into that next. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically, all on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Funky Friday, Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN2. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests will join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Laura Rutledge will join us in a few minutes. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you. So we heard that report from a couple days ago from Woj, Adrian Wojnarowski, basically saying there are a few dozen, 40 or so players, started having conference calls,
right,
about talking about the bubble / campus, mm-hmm, / resort. Living that will be going on when the NBA returns to Orlando and Walt Disney World. It's a very fine place. We should all go there. And they have some real concerns. They started actually reading the things,
yeah,
that were going to be placed on them when they were playing. It's like, kids, when your parents always say read the fine print of any contract, this is why you read the fine print.
And then you still won't read the fine print.
No.
Because we're in our mid-50s and we still don't read the fine print.
I was going to say, you guys get those things all the time on the computer where you ask to check, I have read the agreement.
Have you ever once read one of those?
When it comes to some sort of iOS update, anything there, it's that you check the box, you do the little thing that shows you're not a robot where you have to click like the street signs, even though I always click the street signs right, and then it somehow still keeps feeding me street signs like I got it wrong. I know I got it right. Don't treat me like I'm a robot.
Well, it sounds like a personal issue you got going on.
I was about to say, I know.
You guys have never had to do the street sign thing?
Yes, I know. You're not a robot because I can see your thigh days, so we're in good shape.
I was going to say, man.
No robot has those thighs.
They haven't figured out yet. Artificial intelligence has come a long way, but artificial thigh meat is still lagging. Right. Baby!
Help me, artificial thigh meat. I want to go home and start over.
So basically, first of all, the NBA had to move up the start of this thing by a day, June 30th from July 1st. And then just to sort of try and help some of the players understand, 14 of the 22 teams that will be going to Orlando will be done within 53 days.
Right.
So basically less than 2 months. But there are some players that are still sort of talking about what's this going to be like. And all of this is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And here is our own Brian Windhorst basically saying the players are beginning to realize just how restrictive those 53 days and potentially much longer are going to be.
There's players high up in the union that I think were surprised by finding these details out and are part of the group that isn't so sure. In fact, I'm pretty sure there's people on the executive committee of the union who aren't so sure that they want to go forward with this. And those are the people that were on the front lines of talking about this. So I do think that it's like a proxy for anything. So I think this proxy was approved and it probably needed a little bit more examination. And that's what's going on right now. But for fans out there, I do think we're going to see the NBA bubble. It's going to happen on schedule, and I think we're going to see the majority of the players in there wanting to make a go of this.
I do as well. I just think they started reading some of the things and going, well, wow, this is a bit restrictive, you know, to what's going on. But again, to put numbers to it, like you said, what, 14 of the 22 teams would be there 53 days.
Right.
Only four of all the teams would be there more than 67 days, over 2 months. So, it you know, it's not maybe as long as you think, but then
I've been in this basement for four.
Yeah.
They can handle it for 67 days.
They would survive, obviously, but it was a little more restrictive, I think, than they thought.
Well, and I think Jeff Van Gundy brought this up. Yes. I heard some sound from him basically saying, we've been in quarantine for the last 3 months with more freedom of movement than these guys are likely going to have when they get ready to head down to Disney World on this. Now, as someone who played in a side league and lived in a Holiday Inn Express for 3 months, I can tell you it is possible. You can do it. And they're going to have a lot more at their disposal than I did of the hot breakfast that was offered down in the lobby.
They're just used to things a lot better. You
exactly.
know?
I mean, well, and that's what comes with the territory.
It's a sliding scale.
And they are used to, all right, they've had a lot of free time. They've been able to be around their families.
Right.
They've had, while we've all been locked down to a certain extent, I'm sure with a lot of these guys and where they live, they've had more freedom than they're now reading about. And it always sounds worse when you see it written on the page.
It does, because I think we even made it sound worse a little bit when it was talked about it. One point, 14 teams may be staying in the same hotel.
Yeah.
Okay, let me dispel that a little bit, okay? Because I did a little math.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. Wow.
All right?
You just can't quit it.
So what do they say? 35 people per team is basically where they're going?
Yes.
Okay, 35 and 14 teams in a hotel possibly. So let's get the easy math out of the way. 14 times 35 is?
Whatever you
go
say.
Ahead. Come on.
400 something.
10 times 35 is 350. 4 times 34 is 140. 490.
I said 400 something.
All right. Yeah. 490. 490.
I whispered it.
So 490 people, right? Supposedly in a hotel. Oh no. Of the 42 hotels I looked at Disney, there are over 35,000 rooms. The average hotel holds 859 people, I believe.
Yeah.
So it's the 11 of the hotels have over 1,000 rooms. 3 hotels have over 2,000 rooms. So, 14 teams are going, oh, my God, 14 teams in a hotel. There's plenty of room.
Yeah, but everyone wants the big room.
I know, and everyone
wants
a suite.
That's the problem.
I get it.
I want either a game of knockout or games of one-on-one to determine who gets the
who
suite.
Who gets where?
Play
yeah,
21.
We need to settle this on the court. That's the only responsible
I
way
agree.
To decide who gets the suite.
But I just wanted to kind of dispel that a little bit. For most of the hotels, that amount of people would take up half the hotel.
Yeah.
There's going to be plenty of room there.
Well, the other thing I thought Van Gundy said on Spain and Company, which was really interesting, he said, as a coach, I'm going to be really concerned about challenging them mentally.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like where was their motivation going to be?
The mental aspect. Yeah. I thought that was fascinating, some of the things he was talking about. How am I going to keep them engaged? How am I going to keep them interested?
What's their free time going to be
How am I going to manage their free time? I thought that was a fascinating discussion he had with Sarah last night.
I think that's honestly, too, going to be the first week or so. Because I think what happens is athletes in general are such creatures of habit.
Get
that
new routine.
Once you establish what the new routine is going to look like, I think guys are going to quickly fall into that out of self-preservation because, all right, you've got all this uncertainty around you. Let me control the little bit I can. Let me figure out, all right, where I need to be every day as far as practice, what I need to be doing to getting myself back in form, my schedule with the training room and what I need to be doing on that regard, whether it's prehab or rehab in a lot of this. And once you balance all those, kind of like most of us have found out in quarantine, once you start doing the math, you've got a lot less time than you think to yourself.
You know who's going to have it the easiest of those people assimilating that is the people who like golf. Because it's something you can go do easily. You can play as many holes as you need, depending on how your body feels. It's a great escape.
There are tons
and there's plenty of places
of
to play golf. I mean, and I'm being truthful about this. I mean, it will be an easy way because they're going to be alone, right? Without family. So, you know, it's not like they won't be going to parks and riding rides and stuff like that.
I think we just need to take a moment.
Oh, God. See, you can't even bring it up.
No,
he does.
We need to take a moment
we don't
and
have
just
to do it.
Understand your evolution as a human being. Like, when, before the last year and a half of you said,
you know, a real benefit for them is they can go play golf.
I actually think in this instance, even when I just played golf to drink, yeah. I think I would have said this because this is just a common sense thing. Right. If you like
I'm
golf.
I'm just so proud of you.
I know.
I'm just so flippin' proud of you.
You see me in a different light.
It's growth and it's wonderful.
I was going to say it is growth because when I was doing training camp with the Saints at the Greenbrier in West Virginia, Dad went out in the golf
fishing.
Course to go fishing.
I did. There's a definite flip there. I caught some great bass in the 16th tough fairway.
Now get back there and play that course because it is really, really good. And all of that is Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Coming up next, college football has a plan in place, but some of its biggest stars have a plan in a much bigger fight.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
With thousands of locally owned Napa stores across the nation, chances are that wherever you call home, we do too. So as America starts opening back up for business, and as more of us start getting back out there again, we'll be in big cities, small towns, and everywhere in between, doing what we've always done to help keep our local communities moving forward. So whether you stop by a Napa Auto Parts store, Auto Care Center, or visit us at Napa Online, you can count on Napa know-how.
Golic and Wingo here with you on ESPN Radio and ESPN2, presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. It's a Friday.
Yes, it is.
But Mike Golic Jr. has decided it's a
Thiday. Hal is distracted. I can see it in his eyes.
I am really struggling right now. I'm not going to lie to you. So
Hal is distracted. I've seen it before, and our next guest will be disgusted.
Yeah. You know what? That's why I'm glad that Laura isn't here in person with us so she doesn't have to see this. Normally, would love for Laura to be in person with us. Sure. She's awesome. Mm-hmm. Great friend. Yeah. But right now, I feel like seeing this side of me is nothing that anyone needs.
Nope. So let's bring her in, ladies and gentlemen. Our fine friend and ESPN host and reporter, Laura Rutledge. Laura, how are you?
Well, I'm doing well, but now I'm very curious. What is going on here?
Are you anywhere near a television?
Oh. I am, but let me see if I can turn it on. You guys keep going, and
I'm gonna need a perspective.
So you go.
We're gonna need a perspective on this.
Go ahead and turn it on. She's turning it on. We'll bring her on. We're gonna talk some college football and such, but we're also gonna do our tale of the tape.
Yeah,
because it is Friday.
It is Friday. We do our tale of the tape, our fictional fight card that goes on every week. We did it when we didn't have live sports back. Obviously, we got dudes like Harold Varner III out here balling right now.
HV3.
It doesn't change the fact that we are now addicted to this. We brought Laura Rutledge on with us in the past, and we threw maybe our most confusing version of this, where we take random topics and people and pit them against each other. We've got a better one to get in now.
But before we do that, Laura.
Oh, my.
Thank you. So I have to ask you, is this
a little leg?
Is this in any way, shape, or form work-appropriate clothing?
What I can't figure out is if he is wearing pants. Like, the angle that I'm looking at.
Well, that answers the question. If seriously, if Laura just looked at the TV,
I love you, Junior.
I can't tell if he has anything on below his navel. Yeah. Then maybe the shorts are a little short.
I got to tell you guys, that's exactly what I was going for.
So
Laura, thank you.
I'm on a slight delay here, so you have now crossed your legs to emphasize what's happening, and I can see. Here's the thing. I've had moments in my life where I might have been wearing something a little too short. This is something that happens sometimes to women, usually, but apparently to you as well. And you do the leg cross and the hand there, and you think, okay, maybe I'm covering things up and no one's noticing. You place a paper there. I got to tell you, it's not working, though. I'm on to you.
Laura, his leg cross was the most daring leg cross seen on a picture.
No, don't say it.
Since a certain movie.
I'm just putting
it out there.
We
may in the next commercial break have to go get him some sweatpants.
Can we please?
So let's move on.
Please get the tape on the tape.
Well, dear God, you know what we're dealing with now.
Thank you for weighing in on that important issue, Laura. Now, you remember when we brought you on for the tale of the tape and just completely threw a bunch of nonsense at you, right?
Oh, I was so confused. It was my fault, though, not yours.
You'll love this one.
So I think we've got a better one, one that makes more sense today. It's fictional battles between high school movie characters in a lot of this one. So we've got the awkward division up first right now. The poll is up on our Twitter account, at Golic and Wingo. Want you to take a listen. Here's the first one we've got.
Chapstick, llamas, tater tots, and throwing a pigskin a quarter mile all have one thing in common. Napoleon Dynamite, the Liger-drawing, bow-staff-wielding hothead, lives life with his head in the clouds, indulging in fantasies that most people can't even begin to understand. In reality, he lives with his brother Kip, who spends most of his days chatting with hot babes on the internet, and his uncle Rico, who firmly believes that if Coach had put him in during the fourth quarter, things would have been different. A failure of a campaign manager, despite the brilliant Vote for Pedro slogan, Napoleon's only hope to win back his friends is to do a dance in front of the whole school, which somehow causes Deb to play tetherball with Napoleon, which is apparently a sign of love. That's literally how the movie ends. One thing we can all understand is the financial success of this movie that is unmatched. Made for a mere $400,000, the cult film went on to gross $44.5 million. What's the simple math on that, Golic?
It's a lot.
That is a lot right there. That's a lot of money. Laura, big Napoleon Dynamite fan, I assume?
Love Napoleon Dynamite. Also am a regular user of Napoleon Dynamite GIFs or GIFs, depending on how you decide to say that word.
Love that. It's one of those movies, I think, the more you watch it, the more you appreciate it. But he's got some stiff competition, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. Let's see who's up next.
One movie gave us three words that became a revolution. I am McLovin. Yes, just McLovin. No first name. And he's an organ donor. Chicka, chicka, yeah. According to his ID, he's from Hawaii and was born on June 3rd, 1981. And I've got to be honest, if my real name was Fogle, I would have been that desperate for a change too. After receiving rave reviews from friends on his choice of fake ID, such as, one name, who are you, Seal? And that his name sounds like an Irish R&B singer, McLovin convinces those friends that his decision to put his age at 25 years old instead of 21 was pure strategy. It gets the goods, a swift punch in the face, the thong or girl of his dreams, a few friends in law enforcement, and a wild night no one would soon forget. Last week was McLovin's birthday, and if his age on the fake ID rang true, he turned 38. But McLovin is truly ageless. His youthful exuberance continues to shine through, brighter than a piece of gold in a bottle of gold slick vodka. Take a drink. Take a drink.
Oh, that is awesome. That is a matchup. Napoleon Dynamite against McLovin.
We needed that.
Oh my gosh, we needed
that matchup.
Laura, which way are you going in that one? I got to ask. You get to cast your vote on air for this.
Well, I just voted online as well, guys, because I like to vote in these things. I am going McLovin all the way.
Boom.
I love Napoleon. McLovin. Yeah. You did. Okay.
I did. Listen, ooh. I love both. This is one of those I could go either way.
So what we can say is, Laura, you're McLovin it.
I'm loving it.
All right. Laura, you don't have to laugh at that. I'm sorry.
We're going to move on to actual conversation. So everybody, again, at Golic and Wingo, get the vote. It's a very close vote right now.
Very.
You have about 15 minutes left on this one. We have a couple of more rounds after it. All right, Laura, let's jump to college first. We saw three more Alabama players testing positive for the virus. Again, they were asymptomatic, but tested positive. So that's 8 Alabama players. We have seen multiple other schools with multiple other either players or people with the staff. Do we think this is leading to any kind of a problem? It's not getting any kind of real news nationally. Do we think this could lead to something bad for college football?
Yeah, goodness. I mean, if this had happened a month ago, it would probably be a very talked about, and it would probably be something that everyone was very concerned about. I think the reason why you don't see as much concern, aside from just other things that are going on in the world right now, but one of the main things is that they did have all this protocol in place to where when this happened, they knew it was going to happen. They knew that people would either test positive even before they got back on campus, which has happened, or then even continually as they give these tests out almost daily. I mean, they're doing it all the time. They would have some people that would end up testing positive, might be asymptomatic. So it was more about making sure that their plan would limit spread. And I think that everybody that I've talked to in a variety of these schools, I've reached out, you know, when it comes out that they've got some people that have tested positive, there are even probably a lot more that we don't know about, right? Because some of this gets very dicey. We're talking about some of the privacy that's involved with HIPAA and some of the things they have to do to just protect these guys' privacy in general. And so I think there's probably a lot more that we don't know about. But what everybody tells me is that this is why they made these plans, to where they can quarantine players if needed, to where, you know, they're testing so regularly, they're doing temperature checks so regularly, they're encouraging wearing masks for everybody. In fact, it's mandatory in most of these football facilities. I think it's going to continue to show that sports can come back with these safety precautions in place, at least as it relates to keeping athletes and coaches safe. And the whole fan idea of this is a whole different thing, but I do think that this will continue to be, you know, steps in the right direction for that. And then now we're about to see hopefully the NBA go down that path and watch how they manage everything.
Yeah, and I think it's been interesting, Laura, watching all these sports and specifically college football, because we've talked to so many coaches and ADs and they seem to be very, very buttoned up on the testing side of things. But the one question that we had was about, all right, the resumption of play, because football is not a socially distant sport. Yesterday, the NCAA Football Oversight Committee released a set of guidelines to kind of help ramp back up to that preseason. And I'm curious, because one of the things Nick Saban mentioned at the beginning of all this was a desire for some potential OTA-like workouts, and it seems like that's going to be part of the rollout. Have you heard much reaction from coaches on this portion of it that seems to lead back to on-field football now?
Yeah, initially it was, you know, Jimbo Fisher saying, well, goodness, I'm going to need 6 weeks with my team. You know, Lincoln Riley saying, let's push it as far as we can. I mean, you guys know, because you had a lot of these coaches and ADs on your show, that it was all over the map. I think they're at the point now where they're coming to a conclusion. And that Football Oversight Committee, as you guys know, is comprised of a lot of different decision makers all across college football. So they're at the point now where they're saying, how can we do this to the best of our ability? I think one of the things that allowed for them to get to the point where they felt like an OTA-like situation would make sense is that they can, in most of these places, some are a little bit further behind on purpose, but in most of these places, they've got at least their players back on campus and players that want to participate in workouts are at least back there. That gives everyone, you know, these football coaches that need their control over what's happening, that gives them a little bit more relaxation, I think, as far as their ideas about what's coming up with the season and not knowing what's going to happen. And keep in mind too, I mean, the coaches still can't be around them. So it's really just the strength and conditioning guys. But I think just knowing that that step's been in place has allowed for them to feel a little bit better about maybe an OTA type situation. I think that's what will happen.
Laura Rutledge with us this morning talking about college athletics and how they're dealing with positive tests for COVID-19. The other thing, Laura, that everybody's being asked to talk about is people's reaction to what has gone across this country in the killing of George Floyd, the reaction to it, and the spotlight it's put on social injustice and how people of color have been treated differently. And whether it was fair or unfair, a lot of people wanted to hear a bunch from Dabo Swinney, Clemson head coach, because he is the predominant voice in college football right now with the success he's had, basically appearing in the national championship game every year over the last few years and winning a couple of them at the expense of Alabama. And some people didn't think Dabo was forthcoming enough or didn't say the right things at the right time. I want you to listen to what Trevor Lawrence, his quarterback, had to say when talking about his head coach.
He's shown an effort to learn, and I think similar to my situation, like I've had a lot to learn, and it's been cool to learn from all these guys in here, but also the whole team. We had our meeting a few days ago, and I learned a lot from them too. And I think with Coach Sweeney, it's for people that don't know him, to the public eye, something it's easy to judge some things that he does. But for I think the biggest testament to who he is the people that are around him every day, his family, all of his teams that he's ever had, and just I think the glowing views of what we have on him and the person he is. And he's proven that every day that we've been around him, that, you know, he's genuine and we trust him, and he's been behind us this whole time. And I think, you know, sometimes from the outside looking in, it's a little easier to judge some of the things he does because you don't really have that relationship with him. But we fully support him and he fully supports us.
It's been interesting, Laura. So in light of that and seeing maybe specifically in Clemson, have you been a bit surprised by the reaction to a college coach that I think for a long time, a lot of people felt like they knew and had a handle on exactly what he was about?
Yeah, you know, it has been surprising, guys, and I've covered Dabo Swinney for years, and I feel like right now, as we continue to go through so many stages of learning here, especially as white people, which Dabo is a white person, you know, just extending grace, I feel like seems to be a mantra that maybe would be helpful in all this. I feel like, as it relates to the statements, so many people were just expecting statements just immediately, very quickly, and people were racing to try and find out what they could say and how they could express how much this injustice affected them and how horrible it was what happened to George Floyd and continues to happen with police brutality toward black people. And I think that became this thing where everyone was kind of keeping tabs on everyone. And Dabo somehow fell behind in that and then hasn't said enough. And so, you know, however you look at that, I do think it's been a little surprising with some of the outrage against him. But then again, I also understand from many sides of this that I don't understand. And so that would be, I think, important in all this too. There's this peaceful protest that's organized at Clemson that'll happen sometime around 6 p.m. tomorrow. And I think that's going to be important for Dabo. I think he needs to speak there, and I expect him to speak. And I think people will really pay attention to what he says. And what he says there, I think, will probably has the potential to change the way that he's been viewed this entire time, and that maybe can correct some of the people that think that he's not saying enough, or maybe will influence how people look at him if he doesn't say enough. So I think that's an important moment, and I'm willing to sit here and extend some grace and let him have his moment there and say what needs to be said. I would also just point out, guys, I've been so impressed by Trevor Lawrence, and as a young man, he's the face of college football. He is somebody that's been associated with this greatness on the field, but I think you're really seeing who he is. You're seeing his heart. You're seeing how much he cares about his black teammates and about his teammates in general, but most importantly, his black teammates. And I've been really impressed by him.
So along those lines, as we're talking to Laura Rutledge here on Go Look and Wingo, we have heard NFL players say, like someone like Adrian Peterson said, I plan to kneel again in the anthem, or will there be maybe some other protests? We've heard James White from the Patriots say 17 players knelt in September, I think, of 2017, and there may be more peaceful protests these kind of protests here. Do you think, Laura, this gets to the college level? Do you think college players may do this at their games?
I absolutely do. And I think that they should be fully supported in that. And I think they will be. I think that this is going to be more of what we see than less of what we see, for lack of a better way to put it. And I think you've seen already a major change in the way that NFL owners and the NFL in general would look at this. And so I think that sets a tone for college football as well. And look, I mean, the way that the NFL is run, and the fact that, you know, Roger Goodell is in a situation where he's reporting to these owners, and it's just a little smaller with how they can do things. The NCAA doesn't have a lot of control over what's going on. So there's not even really this like governing body that could come down and say, oh no, college football, you can't do that. And they just won't. And I believe that these coaches will allow their players to peacefully protest and to make demonstrations however they want to, and they should.
Laura Rutledge with us this morning. Laura, thank you for your insights. Thank you for putting up with our shenanigans. And thank you most importantly for shaming Junior into realizing he should not be on television.
Turn off the TV now.
You know what I have to say really fast is, did Junior stand up and do the arm length test? Because, you know, you're supposed to see if your
arms
go down to the, like, you know, if your arms go below your shorts, then we've really got a problem.
Oh, no, they don't.
You know what? You know,
I think, plenty of room.
I think it's the way he was sitting. Okay.
Yeah.
Now your stomach's
shot.
Oh, my God.
There are other things that are being highlighted,
Laura,
now.
What
did
you do?
Yes.
Laura, it was all working. You were with us, and then you did that.
Oh, no.
My master plan. McLovin' it.
Thank you.
Well done, Laura.
Thank you.
Thanks, Laura.
All right, Laura.
Thanks, Laura.
Get out of here. We'll see you later.
Oh, my shorts are stuck up really high now. I can't do anything about it. This is basically like a Speedo at this point now. I am locked into this.
That would be a triple size Speedo.
I'm not going to lie.
Because you were fine with the arm length thing. I didn't know.
It's the way they bunched up when he sat on the chair.
I've heard of the arm length thing before because, you know, I went to a Catholic high school, so part of the girls' uniform was they would wear skirts and a button-down shirt. Boys would wear button-down shirts, slacks, and all that.
I'm pretty sure he saw you dress for high school every day.
Yeah, no, I would say, but I wasn't wearing the skirt at the time.
Explaining it to me.
Yeah. The skirt's kind of a new addition to my life here.
So that was the thing, the arm. Okay, you had plenty of room until you hiked up your shorts.
Well, and again, strategical error because I sat down and I got the hip flexibility to cross the old legs here, but now it's pulling on some places that have made this a bit more of a precarious situation.
I was trying to tell you that when you were doing that.
Yeah,
and
no,
you were,
just
right in my face with it.
Listen, I got caught up. Like, I looked down and got caught up in my own sex appeal for a second. I got great legs. Like, for all the people, the chicken leg comments, I'm sorry. I got great legs. I have gotten that review from more than a number of people. So I don't need your hate. I don't need your slander. Wow. Good.
Listen,
the pugs agree.
The pugs. I will say the pugs find you delicious.
They're not the only ones.
Sadly for you, they are.
Here's the thing. we're caught in that awkward scenario of we can't really start talking about something new. Yeah. I want to get the hell off talking about his leg. So again, it's McLovin against Napoleon Dynamite in our high school movie.
Awkward teenage, awkward division.
Right. It's a high school movie and we're in the awkward division.
Speaking of awkward, I mean, this is perfect for this segment. There.
I feel like Napoleon Dynamite's a movie that uniquely would appreciate the shorter shorts.
Who are you voting for this?
Oh, I'd go McLovin. Look, in a way, you know how some people don't like The Office because they just can't stand how uncomfortable Michael Scott is?
Oh, wait, so you want to hear my Office take? Oh,
right.
So I just finished watching The Office, actually, Trey.
Yeah.
And I got to say, this was my takeaway. The Office was very good, but it's the In-N-Out Burger of shows. Meaning, what everyone tried to sell me in the hype and what I ended up buying are two very different things.
I hate you.
It's a very good show. It's not what y'all made it out to be. Like,
who's y'all?
Like, the general population that screamed, like, The Office's contribution to GIF and meme culture might surpass its contribution to TV culture.
No, this show is really
good.
Show, but, like, honestly, like, y'all need to stop breathing its name in the same breath as Parks and Rec.
All right, now, I do like Parks and Rec better, but through your analogy there, you said In-N-Out Burger was overrated.
No, it's not. It is. I'd say In-N-Out is like 65% hype. It's very good. It's very good at the price point, but it's a lot of hype creation.
I don't want to be on the show anymore today.
Well,
you sure you don't?
You'd have to leave your own house, which would be devastating.
You want to leave all this?
But the point I was making, Napoleon Dynamite is just so awkward. Kind of like Michael Scott in The Office.
More
like this entire
this.
Segment. Coming up next, more where Golic shorts would not be allowed on the golf course. That's coming up next. Heaven help us.